Yeah, I mean, you know, what if we didn't just try to make up emotion, but we really had emotion about that? What if we began to believe more and more the words that we sang? And what if I could give up more? Not to get Jesus' love, but because he loved me and gave himself up for me. We're going to continue on in the book of Matthew today, and we're encountering a scripture that's commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. And talking about soil, it's talking about dirt today. You know, and today we have a holiday, Labor Day. And without a doubt, I feel like we reach this day in a deficit of stillness. We're busy, we're running, we're going, we're trying to achieve outcomes. And I think something to remember, one of the reasons why we gather, why we come together is, you know, some of us took a trip for the holiday and came back. Some of us weren't able to, but you come to gather together, and we lift each other up. We love one another. We support one another, and you give up of your time when we have so many few days to sleep in, right? And so many few days to do the things that we enjoy. And so I think about Labor Day, and I can tell you, I drove back from Phoenix last night, and so that weariness is in me this morning, and to pray God to give me the energy and to remind me how much we need stillness. Well, why are you saying all this, Will? Why don't you get to the scripture? But I just think it's important. We're prayerfully considering the scriptures each time that we encounter that. And so let me pause a minute and just invite Jesus to teach us today, that we would get out of the way, that we'd hand over expectation, and that we might sit and be cultivated, be excavated, be aerated, whatever agricultural terms you want to go with, right? Yeah, there you go. So let's just pause a minute. And Lord, I just humble myself before you. And we could tell jokes, and we could sing pretty, and we could have flashing lights and smoke and all those things, and none of them would be evil, but what we want is you. And why this? Because you have brought us together. We need you so much, and we depend on the fact that you use us together as a family, as a fellowship. And so I pray for all those family members now that are out getting stillness, getting quality time, getting a break from the labor. And I just pray that you would speak to our hearts today, that you would melt away all the anxiety and the worry that tends to clog a heart, that tends to harden a heart. God, that stress, I pray that you would take away all the work garbage, the relationship stuff, the health stuff, the weariness stuff, the fear stuff, the frustration stuff, the bitterness, the anger that can clog us up, and that you would be really loud, because we're so deaf at hearing sometimes, God, and that you'd give us ears to hear you and eyes to see you. Teach us, Lord, this day. We pray this because you're so awesome and you have won the victory. Amen. Matthew 13. So, you know, hey, I admit, I'm from Prescott Valley, okay? You guys are looking at what I've looked at most of my life, and it's changing, and it's oddly green right now. Must be global warming or I don't know what it is. It's something, right? Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Monsoons was usually 3 o'clock in the afternoon for 2 weeks. And for some reason, we've had a global shift. And now we're Seattle out there. And we're getting tons of, and my fields of yellow gold are now green, you know, that I'm used to seeing. And I love it. But what about, there's got to be someone here. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's been involved in farming? Who's been involved in farming? Okay. Yeah, I'll pick on Will a little bit because he's got a good name and an even better haircut. And he's my friend, so I can pick on him. So what's one thing that you've farmed?
Sod.
Okay. So when you, let's say I was to give you a piece of land and ask you to grow sod on that land, how long would it take before I could take sod from that land and put it at my house?
A season.
So a full season. What? A full season. Wow. So that's probably why I just go to Home Depot or something and buy it, because then you don't have to wait, right? You don't have to wait. What kind of things would you do to the dirt? You cultivate it? Okay. You'd break it up. Yeah. Okay.
Plant it.
Fertilize it.
Water it.
That's pretty good. That's good. Any other crops represented here? You know, any crops other people? What's that? Weeds? Oh, yeah. What you do is you just work a lot and don't go outside, and all the magically the weeds grow up. You know, talking to someone, though, I was talking to someone, they were doing corn in a more fertile area, and they talked about the rotation they had to do on their land, that they would even have to not plant for a season in order to replenish that soil. And so this is really fascinating because let me tell you my farmer Will story, okay, if you will. So we had a garden before, and pretty much what we plant in the garden is whatever it takes to make salsa, because salsa is good, right? And so we decided to go bigger with the garden, and I want results right away, right? So what I did is I bought wood 2x12 and other wood to be post. I put it in the ground, okay, and then I brought dirt in and mixed it with the awful clay dirt that we had. And so probably what I had is a 12-inch board, and in that board there was only probably about 8 inches of soil, right? So then we went to plant. And of course, we're in a hurry again because we have a short growing season and didn't get around to it. And so you bought starter plants, right? Starter plants. How very American of me. You buy starter plants and then you hope the tomatoes grow. Well, the first year we'd moved the garden, and I was in a rush, so I put some soil in there. I mixed it up with a shovel. And then what happened is we had tomatoes that looked like cherry tomatoes. However, they were not meant to be cherry tomatoes. They didn't grow, and that's an exaggeration. Some of them grew more. But what I had is a system, a seed designed to grow large tomatoes. And what came out of it was, although it was a fruit, right, it was smaller. And that's what I know about that. Well, asking some questions, someone recommended, and maybe this is wrong, okay, so farmers out there, don't throw anything, but they said, hey, you want great tomatoes? Get yourself 16 inches of good soil. Because those plants did grow a little bit. They did grow a little bit, but the summers get hot here, and the conditions were not conducive to that, and so they began to wither, and I tried, you know, to just throw things at it to get results, right? Water, maybe it's water, maybe it's this fertilizer, maybe it's all these other shortcuts that you can do to try to push fruit to happen. And in the end, another random thing is you put seeds in some of those, nothing came up, but other ones came up. And I did the same thing to both seeds. And so I know that's the context as I'm reading this. So grab your Bibles, Matthew 13, verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprung up, and since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Okay. So I love the scene here, right? Let's not forget this actually happened. First of all, is this familiar to you? You heard this one? If you've been in church any time at all? You're probably guessing what my sermon would be already. You've heard it enough and where it's going to go. But it makes me wonder, right? Okay, so there's seeds and there's soil. Well, what do you mean, Jesus? What's awesome about this parable is he actually tells us. So if you fast forward, if you will, we'll just fast forward past verses 10, okay, through 16. Oh, through 17, I'm sorry. And then we pick up on verse 18, and I got a little cheat sheet here, and it says, the parable of the sower explained in my Bible. And this is what Jesus said. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. I've seen that, huh? As for the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for the one that was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Well, that helps, huh? Yeah. Yielding fruit. What's that mean, yielding fruit? Okay, well, see, I look at this scripture, we step back, and I've heard it talked about, you know, you read commentaries, and you begin to see this idea, this metaphor, that the people would understand culturally in growing their food, not having a supermarket like we have where the food is magically there. You know, growing that, understanding the process, using that as a metaphor that teaches us. Well, what's the fruit? It's the outcomes. It's the outcomes you desire could be the fruit of something. The improvements made, the results, right, that you're looking for, the wishes, the wants, and the needs. And I put those on the same line because it's hard for us to identify which one is which, right? I really need coffee. You don't really need coffee. You like coffee. It's helpful. But you don't need it. You want it, right? So the healing, growth, what could it be? I mean, and this really leads to the first question. Let me just ask you and consider this. If you take a look at your life right now, Take a look at your life right now. What is it? What is it that you want? Wait a second, Will, where are you going? I get what I want. No, what is it that you really want? What is this desire that's in you? What is it? I mean, some of us, we're so consumed with something. It becomes something we think about a lot, something we worry about a lot, an outcome we're desiring, a growth that we need, or a growth we need removed, right? Healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, healing of relationships. Maybe it's financial worry. Maybe, I don't know, it's just worry. And we're told, okay, cast your cares, right, upon him because he cares for you. Like, we give our cares to him. So we've learned to take these things that are in our heart. And the Bible tells us that we can be so consumed with the things that are bothering us that they become idols to us. They're the distraction. They're the things we think about when we wake up. They're the things we think about when we go to bed. Okay? And let's be real honest. You can pray a long time and really hard about these things, and some of them will not go away. Some of them will not go away. And then you're left with this question. Where's God in that? Where's God in my life? And is God good? And the church's answer is typically, God is more worried about your holiness than your happiness. And although that can be true, it's more than that. And that's what I believe in prayer that Jesus is talking about here. So I ask you that. What is it? What is the fruit you're looking for? What is it? What is that main thing? Would you keep that in mind today? Because I don't want to just go through the motions. Like, we want to be growing. We want to be moving closer to our Lord who's right by us. We want to see what the Spirit is doing and join him in that. And so this is personal. It's extremely personal. Not just to the people that heard it that day, but all of us since that day who Jesus had them write it down for. So there's my question. What is the fruit that you're looking for? What is that tomato, you know? Man, what tomatoes, Sean? Yeah, what's the fruit? Well, it says right here, it's talking about seeds, right? And seeds are spread and seeds are planted. Well, here's another part in the scripture. Here's some help. 1 Corinthians 3:7, it tells us this. Paul's talking about it. He says, you know, you and I, because there's two parts to this. Whether you like it or not, there's things being sown into you. And we feel comfortable talking about that. And to be honest, sometimes I feel like my sermons are more talking about that. And I think that's just because I think that's where we're at right now. When I'm praying to God, asking him what to do. But there's another part. See, you are a sower of seeds. Whether you like that or not, you are a sower of seeds. And you go out and you plant these seeds in people through your relationships, through your interactions. And what the scripture tells us is this, and hopefully this is healing and a relief to us. Like, we can, Smitty, you can plant seeds. People can plant seeds in you. And you know what? Another person or that same person could water those seeds. They could add fertilizer. They could encourage. They could sing, right? You sing to plants sometimes. You could do that. But the only way that there's growth, that comes from God. From my tomato plant, right, to Dick here, right? His growth is all dependent on God. It only happens. Doesn't matter how much Steve sows into him. It doesn't matter how much Jill waters that. Growth only happens from God. And that's why when you put those seeds down, there's a lot of factors. But this one may grow and that one may not. So the encouragement to you is that God is in control. And if you really believe that, if you don't, start there. God is in control. Lots of people not breathing today, right? That were a year ago, a week ago, a day ago. Those of us who still have breath, it's because the Lord's sustaining us in that. God is in control. He has not lost control. That thing, that tomato that you need grow, that relationship that you need healed, that physical ailment that you need healed, God can do that. And he hasn't yet for a good reason. Well, what's the reason? I don't know. I don't know. So, the seeds can be planted and watered, but only God gives growth. It's in the Bible. It's on the internet. There's two. It's got to be true, right? Those both. Another thing to remember, too, that I want to put this out there. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. I think that's good to remember, right? The good things that you have, even those people who say, I don't believe in God, everything good that happens to them, every good and perfect gift, it's only because God made it happen or allowed it to happen, right? That's awesome. That's awesome, because we can begin to be grateful for that. It's not random chance. Like, God, you're not growing the tomato, so I'm upset with you. But all these other things, what about all the other things that are good? Oh, that's just random chance. You know, hey, maybe you and the wife aren't doing so good, but you don't got cancer, right? That's a good thing. Okay, maybe you have cancer, but praise God, you and your wife are doing good. I mean, God is working in things. He is cultivating. He is working us. I know that's kind of a ridiculous example, okay? But we can begin to be grateful that God is working. And when you begin to see that this way, if God is in control of everything, he's the provider of every good gift, then we could even begin to say, hey, I'm struggling in a relationship with a child, with a parent, with a spouse, with a friend. But God, you're in control, and I know that you're doing a work in me that you promised to finish. And so the reason that it's difficult is because it matters. The reason that it hurts is because it matters. The reason that Will had to break up that dirt before he planted the sod is he was cultivating the soil and fertilizing and preparing it to make something beautiful and green. And if I were to personify that dirt, I guarantee you every shovel, every tractor scoop, every rototill, every blade that hit that dirt would disrupt and cause pain. Yeah. But every good gift comes from God. So then, this is what Jesus is saying. So when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes down and snatches away what's been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. So along the path, what's that mean, okay? The soil that's along the path, the metaphor here is this. The soil is your heart. It's the inner life. It's the inner man, the inner woman. It's what's going on inside. And he's saying some, there'll be seed sown like a path. And here's what I heard, and it's really true. It's like a hardened heart, right? The path was a material that gets hard, and so it's hard to dig through the outer layer of that soil and get to a place where the seed can implant. So what happens is the seed falls and then birds come by and take it. Or people walk along and they kick the seeds off and the seeds do not grow. And what he's saying is these are the people that are hearing the word of God, right? Which we have to remember is not only the Bible, but it's the things that God is saying and doing in our lives. You sort of notice it, but you're not so hard. But here's what I was praying. God, can you give me new interpretation on this? Can you help me to see it clearer? Because I don't know, it just didn't speak to me so much. But here's what it is. And I thought, it's a path. It's a path. It's where work is being done. It's moving. It's distracted. And this is us. It's walking. so motivated by the things around us and what we have to do that all the goodness that God is throwing on us is bouncing off of our shoulders and off of our hair, and we're knocking it to the side and we're not receiving anything. Jesus didn't say that. That's Will. That's what I believe the Holy Spirit was giving me, and he's speaking to me. You don't understand, Will. I think, yeah, it is a hardened heart, but it's because of where your focus is. It's because we can be so distracted, we can be so on a system, even for religious reasons, that we will not receive and understand. And here's an awesome test for it. It's simple. If you could ask yourself on a daily basis, if you could ask somebody that you care about, friend, someone that lives with you, so what did you see God doing today? What did you see God doing this week? And watch the blank stare. Right? And that's not an insult, because that's me a lot too. I think that's what it's talking about. I mean, how many things did God want to invest in me? How many seeds did he want to plant? How much nourishment did he want to get? But I was like a hardened heart, not even open in that area to receive that from God. Would you even believe that you're beloved and that God loves you? How hard is that? Because most of us hate ourselves. Would you even be open to receiving that? That God loves you, that he has a plan for you. And it might hurt, but he is making something beautiful out of you. Something beautiful out of your life. And here's the hard thing. And if I was God, I'd get fired, okay? Because I couldn't do this. But God knows this. He goes, some of the most beautiful lives aren't always long. Some of the most beautiful lives aren't always easy. The guys we talk about in the Bible, it wasn't easy for them. It wasn't easy. Methuselah lived a long time. What else do you know about him? Nothing else, really. Come on, let's be honest. Right? But the guy boiled and put in prison. We know a lot about him. And my life is saved because they killed him. I don't like that, Will. Well, what about the stories? God is making something beautiful out of us, but a path that is so focused and so hard in doing this and not even looking. It's like, no, that's fine. That's not for me. Yeah, there's whispers. Sunsets, don't got time for that, right? The blessings that I have, what you're trying to teach me, what you're trying to show me, I'm frustrated because it's hard. And I don't want to receive it. I don't want to hear it. No. When it's easy, I'll be open. When it's easy, when you drop the easy seed, then I'll get it. Right? And we're like this garden, and this is, and it's okay, let's say it's money, okay, because that maybe that's less offensive. Money is the issue. And when it comes to money, that's the hardened path that everyone walks on. So when God's teaching you about money, I don't want to have that. But if you tell me about my kids, I'm crying over here because I'm soft soil. Like, yes, I want to receive everything about my kids, but not about money. I'm hardened to this. And that's what God is saying. So is that you? Is that you? Could you easily answer what God is up to in your world and the world around you? Are you even looking? I mean, I hate to say up, right? Because God's outside time and space. So I don't even know where he is necessarily, but we do that, right? We can look up like the seed is being sown, and we can look out and we can see the seed being sown. Because for me to get up here and gab, Sean had to do so much work, man, and pray for me and be a friend and send a text message. There's a seed, right? And it's like, yes, receive it. Receive it. Tell my wife, guess what? Sean texts, not to glorify Sean. This is how I want to live. This is how I want to live. He sent me that text, and I can see what it is. I can break up that path, that hardened heart, and say, yes, that is awesome. I know he was thinking about us and praying for our trip, man, and it's like, bring it, yes. Well, what about the next part here? So we have the path. You know, you get the path. I mean, I get that. Okay, well, great. That's not me, man. I'm just so easygoing, and everything's going well. So then what about the stuff sown on rocky ground? And Jesus says, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately he falls away. Rocky ground. You guys have to forgive me. Some of my notes are on the phone this week. I've seen this. I've actually been part of conversations with people, and they get so excited. You're like, man, how's it going? Like, you know that they had a hard time. And sometimes it had something to do, in some of these cases, with a religion. And I had a couple couples tell me, oh, Will, you know, it's great. I know that it was rough with our church, but now we're back. And guess what? We're going to be pastors. We're going to be missionaries. It is all about God. Woo! Yeah. And you're like, really? Like, you were like, I hate God and I hate you, and we're running away. And now this? Like, that was quick. And then what it was is they just, like, jumped in, right? It's like I said, get the charge. We're going. Where are we going? I don't care. Anywhere. We're just going. And it's that, right? It's those bean sprouts that the kids grow in school. They grow in like one day, but they're dead by the next weekend, you know? And so it's just, boof. It's like, yes, I want to receive. And as soon as you get that, I don't want to chew on, I want to swallow it, right? No chewing, just swallow. I'm jumping in. And that's what a couple of these couples happened. I mean, unfortunately, I'd see them later and they weren't together. They didn't. Like, God doesn't even exist now. And what I believe, based on what I read, is that Jesus was doing something. But it was so quick. The soil was so short. It's like my tomatoes. I didn't take the time to excavate more than the 7 or 8 inches. And so that plant would start off okay because it got nutrition from the upper layer, and then quickly, when the elements came, it would die off. Is that you? Is that me? Do I do that? Do I get excited? Can I be still long enough to say, I receive this? Could I be disciplined enough to chew 10 times before I swallow it? And then Jesus talks about among the thorns, the seed sown among the thorns. This is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Among the thorns. Yeah, I think that is probably where a lot of us live. Because you want results. Like, you want results. If it is your kids, man, you want this Christmas to be awesome. You want your relationship fixed now. You want your kids there, grandkids there, great-grandkids there, however many layers. Or you're lonely and you want that girlfriend, boyfriend now. Like, come on, Thanksgiving, I want to be with that person. Your marriage, no, I want it fixed now. My health, no, I want a clean scan now. And the world can offer that because, like, there's shows on TV now, and apparently coconut oil, vinegar, those things will fix just about anything. Like, you can grow an arm back with that stuff. I'm sure it cures cancer if we can figure out how to do it. But the world, you're like, that's not me. I love God. But where are you looking? I mean, the thorns... Okay, I'm not a botanist, but from what I understand, the problem with the weeds and the thorns, why you have to pull them out of your garden is they will dominate the resources, right? Is that true? Well, okay, good. Okay, so I don't want to speak untruth to you, but that's part of the problem is so you and I only have a finite amount of resources, energy and time, the things we're thinking about, the things we care about, what we're investing in, our money, our time, our thoughts. And so if it is to get these results, to get these outcomes that the world tells us that you need to have, Like, it's not just good enough to be a mom. You have to tweet about it, right? But you don't have time. Is tweeting about your kids evil? No. Is it the focus? Maybe. Is it a thorn? If it's the focus, yes. And see, that's the hard thing, is you can make fun of that, but let me use that example for an instant. Do you tweet so you can love your kids, or do you love your kids so much that you tweet about them? Okay, wait, that's confusing. Well, no, understand that. It's like, why do I do good works? Not so that God will love me. He loves me already, but I do it because he loves me. And because weeks like this, he showed up today in spite of me. Like, I didn't deserve for him to show up and help me with you guys today. And you would have been really unhappy if it was just me and myself that came up here. It would really be worse than it is now, okay? And you don't want that. And so it's hard because we want to pick on that. I put a Facebook post about my kid or something. I might do it because I love my kid so much. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is awesome. That's not a thorn or a weed. But if it's like, it's like the Instagram dad. If you've seen that video, it's hilarious, right? He wants to drink the coffee, and his wife is like, wait, you can't drink the coffee. This is for taking pictures of, right? Because you can't enjoy it because your focus is somewhere else. And then there's things that we call destructive, but they're really not even that much more destructive than those little hidden things, right? Like, okay, you know, you have substance abuse, addiction problems, lust problems, legal problems, and those things can just dominate your mind and poison you and kill your fruitfulness, and you have got to get help with that. Otherwise, the soil will be contaminated, right? And it won't be any good. But even those of us who control and fear and the need to be wanted and approved are equally poisonous and more sneaky. The thorns. So what about good soil? Good soil talks about, the returns on that. But Will told me, even for sod, I mean, it'd take you a season. What if I told you you couldn't get what you want for a year? And in that year, you've got to follow and do what God tells you to do. What if I told you it's going to take 10 years? I can't do that, Will. Yeah, but 10 years of obedience, right? 1 year of obedience. If Will planted the seeds and then showed up 12 months later, the grass wouldn't be ready. And this is what we want to do. It's like we come out every 3 months and like, it's not growing, Jim. Throw some more fertilizer out there. We'll come back in 3 months. It doesn't work that way. You have to do the work every day. Every day, and you might not see fruit right away. Wait, you mean if marriage is the thing that's got you down, you need to, I think I heard this, like love your wife like Christ loved the church and give yourself up for her, men? What's that mean? That means you might not have all your needs met right now, but you're still going to love her anyway? You're still going to water that? You're still going to fertilize? You're still going to do those things to that crop so that hopefully, whether it's 3 years, 1 year, 3 weeks, poof, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. And generations after, you will be changed because you love each other and don't give up on each other. And cancer, like, it's maybe, what if it's not going to go away for a year? What if you're going to suffer with it for 3 years and then your healing is to be with Jesus? Like, but your life is going to be beautiful. It's going to be like a painting like no other that's going to tell everyone around you that knows you about your faithfulness, about your love, and about how good God is even in suffering. But I don't want that. I want the tomatoes now. I want the tomatoes now. And I think that's the problem. If I'm to make a gross generalization, let me do that, okay? Part of the problem with the Christian faith in our communities and our culture is that we failed to show people that God is good. I'm simplifying. We fail to show people how good God is, to present God for who he is. Those of us faithful enough to do it have suffered under those lies too long, and then we consider following God a thing without power and joy, but a thing of service and somberness. It's all of those things, really. So being good soil. Well, so Jigger, let me ask you this, man. If you're planting your field, do you use, like, all the dirt that was there? None of the dirt that was there? Do you add new dirt? What do you do with that, like, with sod?
Test it.
Okay, test it.
See what's in it.
See what is in it, okay.
See if it works, you know, then go from there.
And then go from there, and you might have to add more. Yeah. Now, in my garden, I knew I brought in manure, which in itself would just burn the plants, you know, but when mixed with topsoil and then the good clay rock mix I already have, you know, together, if given enough, what would grow. And so we talk about becoming new, and we don't understand, because we say, make me new, and then physically, mentally, and emotionally, we're not new right away. And I think about what Will was saying there, and what he's saying. He's like, yeah, I've got to test the soil, because then I'll know what to do with it. And then after I test it, and I'm putting these words in his mouth, I would maybe add this or add that, right? Make this change so that this soil is prepared to create something beautiful. And so that's the part of being made new. But by the time that first, so then let me ask you this. Okay, so there's sod, and you guys have a cutter, right, that cuts underneath it, and then there's still dirt left under there. What's that dirt like after you take that out? He's like, I'm never coming back to church again. But I'm just picking on you. But yeah, if you cut that, it's bare ground, right? What's that ground like? Is it better now, worse?
Same.
It's about the same as before. It keeps going. Okay. Yeah. See, we're learning something here. So it continues to grow. He said, you know, you cut up the grass that's grown, and then you're preparing to plant another one. Well, there's some roots there that will grow. There's still soil, and that soil, if he did that, if I gave him land that was unprepared, he prepared it one season. I guarantee you, at the beginning, that soil would be better than it was the year before. Its properties would be different because of what he added to it. It would be new. It would be new. It's like my garden. I added that, and it was what was left. It's new. It's different. It doesn't even really look the same, but it took time. And in every season, it was a couple more bags, right, of dirt. It took some time, but eventually, you know, now it's got to the point where it could produce more fruit. And that's what Ezekiel 36:26 says this, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's what he's doing. And so it becomes kind of a diagnosis tool here. Luke's account of this, it says, as for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So I've got some questions for you, okay? Going back and saying, what is that tomato? What is the thing that you're longing to see grow from your life? What is that beautiful thing that you want to happen? What if what God's doing and not giving you that beautiful thing this moment? What if he's calling you to be excavated, to be cultivated? See, because I have a choice. I'm in my later half of my 30s, and in a lot of ways, man, I am the same knucklehead I was at 30. And if I keep doing this way, if I don't submit myself to be cultivated and excavated, the soil will be the same. And if business school taught me anything, it's about systematic thinking, and that's this, right? You have a system. If it stays the same and what you put into that system is the same, the output is the same. Until you change either the system or what you put into that system, your output will not change. But you know what? The world's the world. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. You guys and girls are struggling with the same garbage they were during the Bible times, right? Greed, lust, anger, fear, worry. I mean, what we call it might be different. And so the input is the same. And if you don't change the cogs in the system, the output will be the same. And so whether you are 6 or 106, I would say there's cultivating to be done. So what if God is calling you to be excavated? What if he's planning to cultivate something in you? Would you make the choice to be still? I mean, think about it. My son, he got cactus in his leg. It's like, be still so I can pull it out. If he kept jumping around, I couldn't get the cactus out. And so God doesn't force himself on us. His choice was to give us free will. And Adam, Jesus, and us had the same choice. Will we trust him to complete the work? Will we trust that this moment is for our good if we follow him, believe him, and are called according to his purpose? And whether this moment is happy, sad, or indifferent, whether it's anger, fear, hurt, or whether it's celebration, if we still hold to the fact that God is true, will we sit still to be cultivated? Will you let him work in you? Yeah. Okay, be careful. Don't be the bean sprout, right? What if it takes time? What if there's no salsa this year? What if you have to take this year and do the cultivating? Because here's what most of us are going to do. Here's what Will's been doing. And I pray to God, this Will, not that Will. What I've been doing is I simply just keep throwing more seed. Must have tomato. Must have salsa, right? Okay, no. Manipulate, right? Like, I can cause the growth. No, the Bible was clear on that long before I was thought of by anyone but God. I cannot manipulate that. I cannot make the seed to grow. I cannot make something beautiful without God. So will I continue to do that? Because most of us will do this. In our Christian walk, we will sabotage the cultivation, which you have every right to do. God has given you that right in his knowledge, in his sovereignty, in his power, and in his love. He's given you that right. You can spend all your days, and you know what? You could still get to heaven. But why not? Why not make something beautiful out of your life? Would we sit still? You see, 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Because you know, what would I do if it was like 3 years and the garden didn't grow? Oh man, forget this garden, right? I just throw a bunch of rocks over it. Put cactus in there that don't need anything to grow, right? That's what you would do. That's not what God does. He's torturing with you about your tomato for how many years now? I mean, really, that thing that you want to become beautiful, how many years has he been waiting on you to even let him do the cultivation? But you keep trying to make it grow. You keep trying to make it happen in your own power. But he doesn't destroy you. He doesn't cover you over. He doesn't forget you. He still loves you. And he's still there with the hose and the rake, right? Saying, will you let me? Praise God that he doesn't give up on me. Praise God that he still shows up. That even when I say no, every once in a while, there's the water there, you know? Become good soil. Become good soil. That's what this is about. Become good soil. Like, that should be your focus. Not be awesome. Can you wait to be awesome so you can become good soil first? Can you wait to be beautiful? Could we do that? Would we submit ourselves? Could we do that together? How do we do that? How do we do that? Okay, so let's just say that that's your answer, okay? So James, half-brother of Jesus, has something to say about this, okay? And it's small, so I'm going to read it to you. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So if I stop there for a second, I see this, because in the garden, even after the plants were growing, I would water that, and then what would happen is the soil would move, and rocks would be uncovered. Sticks would be uncovered, and things that I didn't want, and things would fall on it, right, on the ground, and I would pick them up and throw them out. And that's this, you know, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So that's a lot of words, Will. Well, okay. Get rid of sins that defile you. What we're going to do here in a minute, we're going to pray. And this is where it starts. This is the prayer that I want to become good soil, God. But here's what I know about me. I'm going to get impatient, and so I need your help. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me and help me. And would you send other people? And to do this, you're going to have to let people into your life enough to know, right? If you have a strained relationship with a child and no one else is praying for you about that or asking you how it's going, or... because I don't know, what if what they need is a note every once in a while, even though they won't talk to you, that says, I love you? And what if you and Brandon knew each other enough, and Brandon's like, have you written to your kid in a while? Oh, they never write back. I know, but you're becoming good soil. I mean, is that what you need to do? I don't know if that's what your beautifulness that you're looking for, your restoration. But this is how this can work. So if we're to become good soil, we're going to say, I want this, but I know I can't do this without you. So even to choose you, I need your help. And that's the way it works. And then this, get rid of sins that defile you. Get rid of sins that defile you. What's in the way of that growing up? What's the rocks? What's the weeds that need to be picked? And then humbly receive the word. It's kind of stillness, right? Let's let God speak into your life through others, through the word, and then don't forget what he told you. And it's the age old, write it down. Like it or not, you were all programmed. You wrote down spelling words. whether you did homeschool so you could remember them. And so we work like that. Write it down. God promised me that tomato, and what he wants me to do is this, and I remember because I wrote it down, and he is true and honest, and when I struggle, I'll go back to what I wrote down and look to Jesus and abide in him. Don't be the pathway. Watch for him. Watch for the seeds that are being sown in your life. Like, be open to being watered. Being open to do that, okay? Be a doer. Not just a hearer. Do what he asks you to do. Do what he asks you to do. I don't like to be told, I know. America, we don't like to be told what to do, okay? This is the way, this is the problem we're going to have to overcome to be followers. So, worship team, would you guys come on up? And we're gonna spend a little time. We're getting started here. This is the starting line for this, guys. And I think my prayer is that even one of you would join me in this, because there's things that God wants to make beautiful in my life. Say beautiful. Ooh, that was perfect. There's things that God wants to make beautiful in my life, but I believe 100% not. And not even just, I know this sounds wrong, not even just because I read that in the Bible, but I've noticed that. I've noticed that I sabotage the work that God's doing. You know, instead of pulling the weed, I just put like ground clear on it. And then I can't grow anything beautiful there anyway. And so God's like, well, we got to pull these weeds out of your life, and you can't shortcut it. And when you do, it slows down the growing. And so what would it took 4 months to fix is now 4 years into it. Would Abram have got Isaac in a shorter amount of time if he didn't go and try to get a kid in his own power? I don't know. But it didn't help. It didn't help. Would the Jews, if they would have been obedient and not, would have taken 40 years to travel through that desert? No, for sure it wouldn't have. Did God want them to do that? I don't know, but he's outside time. He knew what they did. He acted appropriately, and it's a great lesson. And so I am tired of walking through the desert. I am tired of trying to make it grow myself. I'm tired of Miracle-Gro and Weed Killer, and like, pull the weeds in me, God. Take the rocks out, especially the big one that's my heart. Like, take that out and give me a heart of flesh. Search me, know me, and show me the things in me that we need to take care of, and let's take care of this together. Yeah, I want that. Yeah, but you can't bean sprout this. You have to be cultivated. You have to become good soil if you want something beautiful. So will you turn down the lights for me, Rick? Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you so much for coming. I thank you so much for not counting it your right to just be comfortable all the time, but that you actually gave your life, your body, all the things you could have done with it here on this earth, you gave it up for me. Like, and you only got like, what, 33, it depends on who you talk to, 34 years. I already had that much. And that was all you got, but you had the most beautiful life ever. The most powerful life ever, the most important life ever. So Lord, we invite your spirit here to do what only he can do, and that is transform us from the inside out. And I pray for the hearts of my friends here today, my brothers and my sisters, the hearts of anyone here who's never accepted you as their Lord, that you would soften that heart. And I pray that you could do it gently, but that might not be what we need. So I say this for one, God, you know those beautiful expectations that I have, those beautiful desires, wants that I have. And gosh, I wish I could get it now. But I wouldn't be ready for it. I couldn't handle it right now. So God, I just throw it down. I throw down all the things I've been trying to throw at it, the water and fertilizer, insect repellent. Because every once in a while I see a leaf and then I think I put too much water on it or something and it burns and it goes away, and like I want the beautiful thing to come. So Lord, just open me up. Teach me, use others, use your word, use your revelation to me as I pray. Let's get the rocks out and pull the weeds, and help me when it hurts, and help me when I want to quit, but don't let me sabotage it anymore. Like, I want to be made good soil. I want to be transformed. I don't want to be who I've been. I just want to prove that I trust you and not just say it. So God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the anger and the impatience that I can have. And forgive me for being selfish. And forgive me for being afraid. And forgive me for thinking I can control. Forgive me for just wanting to make everyone happy and everyone like me except you. And then I forget you. We don't see you and what you're doing. So God, I praise you for the hard things, and it hurts and it stings because it matters, because you're pulling those rocks out of us. You're pulling those weeds. And so please help us just to, when we feel that slight poke, right? It's why we get a shot, because we know it'll numb the pain eventually, but hurt right now. And so pull those weeds. Pull those thorns. So Lord, walk with us and speak to us more about becoming this good soil. And I know for some of us it stings right now. And so I pray that we'd sing this song, that you would speak and that you would wash over us like a cold drink. I would take the burning away. Thank you for loving us. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We need you, Holy Spirit. Amen.